The text for our message this morning comes from Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, where Paul writes, "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When it comes to the spiritual disciplines, the focus for our Lenten sermon series, all of the spiritual disciplines really come down to trust, to trusting in God and building that trust. Now, we are going to talk about trust in much greater detail at the Easter sunrise service over at Bethlehem Cemetery, but for right now, it is enough to know that when we talk about giving, we are really talking about trusting in God. But before moving any further, let's hear a little more of what God has to say about the subject of giving and trusting in Him. We just heard from the New Testament from 1 Timothy, but now we'll look at a passage from the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 3. "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, God says, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts." So giving is about trusting in God and responding to His good gifts. And that's really where we need to start, is with God's gifts, because everything we have is a gift from God. God created everything in the beginning to be very good in Genesis chapter 1. God created all that we have, all that we are. He created us, our family, all these things God created and God provides. God has given us everything we have as His gift. He doesn't give it to us because of anything we do to deserve it. There is no merit on our part that causes God to give things to us. He gives it to us simply because of His love for us. Just as a parent provides for all their child's needs, so our Heavenly Father gives to us because He loves us. And God uses what He provides to provide for all of our physical needs. In the Catechism, we talk about all of the different things that God provides for us as daily bread. Food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers. All these things are God's gifts. And He uses all of them to provide for us. And He actually uses a lot of different means to provide for us, such as giving us the job with which we provide for ourselves. But all of these are God's ways of providing for our physical needs. However, even though something is a gift from God, it can still lure us away from Him who gave it. God's gift of material wealth and of possessions can absolutely be abused. In our reading from 1 Timothy, Paul warns the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Now, note that money itself is not the problem here. Paul does not say that money is the root of evil. Money itself is amoral. That is, it is neither good nor evil. But the love of money, that is the problem. Material possessions can become a snare and a trap. Because, as Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When we trust in our possessions, or when we trust in our own ability to accumulate more, we stop trusting in God. When we trust in what He has given us, our trust in Him disappears. Romans 1, Paul says that they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature, we might say worshiped and served the things He had given them, rather than the Creator, He who had given them to them. Or in James 5, James warns us, your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. The love of money, the love of material possessions, can draw us away from God. And leads us to trust in Him, in the things, rather than the one who gave them. Anything that gets between us and God becomes an idol in our hearts, and this needs to be removed. Now, that doesn't mean that we cannot have material possessions. I'm not saying everyone needs to live in a cardboard box here. Remember, those material possessions are first and foremost a good gift from God. Remember, money itself is neither good nor evil. Money can certainly be used for evil, and the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, but money can also be used for God's pleasing purposes. What we need to do here is to sever the hold that these material possessions have over us. A prime example comes from Matthew chapter 19, the story of the rich young man who comes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responds by asking, "Well, what are the commandments? Have you kept them?" The young man says, "All these I have kept from my youth." Jesus, looking straight into the man's soul, sees he really hasn't. And he sees that one thing is coming between this rich young man and salvation. The fact that he is so wealthy and his material possessions are creating a barrier between him and God. And so Jesus says, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Well, the reason that Jesus told him to sell all he had wasn't because those material possessions were inherently bad. No, but Jesus told him to sell all he had because he needed to break the hold of his wealth over him. At that time, the rich young man wasn't ready to hear this, and he went away sad, but we don't know what happened afterward. He associated wealth with God's favor, but that wealth was really separating him from God. Now, giving our possessions away actually serves to break the hold of those possessions over us. In 1 Timothy 6, Jesus says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." By giving away, we trust in God and we learn to enjoy what He has given us as His gifts. Or in Hebrews 13, the writer says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" So if I can show myself that I can live without something, then it becomes less important to me. This is the same reason that we practice fasting, as we talked about several weeks ago, because by doing without, we show whatever it is to be less important to us. If I can give away my possessions, or at least enough to make it hurt, then my possessions are no longer the most important thing in the world to me. And instead, that makes room for God. Giving our money to God forces us to put our trust in Him to provide. If I can give away 10% of my income to God off the top before factoring in any other expenses, then I have to trust in God. Now, 10% is a good biblical number. Technically, in the Old Testament, that's what the tithe means. But it doesn't have to be 10%. It can be more, it can be less. The most important thing is sacrificing and trusting in God, not a number. God really can provide for all of our needs, even when we don't think the math will quite add up. As we saw in Malachi, where He says, "Bring the whole tithe into my barns, and then see if I don't rain down on you even more." Now, you may be under the misimpression that giving is supposed to be difficult or is supposed to be a chore, that you should feel cut up every time you cut a check to give some of your hard-earned money away. But that's not what giving is at all. In fact, one of the most things you can do with everything God has given you is to give it away. Giving a new car seat to an expecting family is exciting. Raking leaves for an elderly neighbor along with your friends is a fun pastime for a Saturday afternoon. Babysitting a child whose parents are busy is fun. The more creative you can be with how you give, the more fun it gets to be. One of my favorite stories from Financial Peace University comes in the final lesson, The Great Misunderstanding, which talks all about giving. The story goes that a quietly wealthy couple is in church one Sunday when the wife notices that the single mother sitting next to her is in serious distress, has tears in her eyes. The two get to talking before the service, and they find out that this woman is starting to fall behind on her electric bill. She doesn't know where to get the money from, and her power is going to be cut off next week. Well, the wife prays with her before service and, of course, asks for her address so that she can follow up with a card to find out how things are going. And the next day, the husband walks into the electric company's billing office and pays the woman's entire past due bill and prepays the next 6 months. Wow, how much fun and how exciting is that? But really, nothing we can give can ever compare to what has already been given to us by God. God gives us our life, and He gives us everything we need to sustain our life. All our food and drink, they're put there by Him. Our family and friends, our place in our lives, by him. Even the very air we breathe was created by God, and our hearts only beat because he makes them. And even that pales in comparison to the greatest gift that our Heavenly Father has ever given us, his only Son, born in a manger, born a human, born under the law. His only Son, who experienced fully what it means to be human, experiencing hunger and thirst, experiencing temptation and suffering. His only Son, who was finally nailed to a cross and experienced death for us, so that we do not have to die eternally. His only Son, who through faith will bring us to be with him and to enjoy an eternity of his blessings. This is the greatest gift God has given us, and it is the one which we give to those around us so that they also may experience the joy of knowing their Heavenly Father, who graciously gives them all things. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.